That's why I come to church. I want to connect. Amen? I want to connect with God's presence and His love and His power. And I want to be in a gathering of people who believe that and declare it loud enough that their ears can hear it. Wasn't that great? Just voices rising up into the presence of God this morning. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to take up the offering now. If you're visiting with us, we'd just like to welcome you. And just to mention, on my right-hand side here, there are some sofas and couches, and they bring some coffee for, so the folk who are visiting us don't just get totally neglected and left out because we're just a crowd of people, but that there'll be some folk to talk to you and find out who you are, where you're from. And I believe they even have some cappuccinos there to share with you. So enjoy that. And if you're visiting with us from another church, I'm sure that's where you feel to be financially committed in your house. But that doesn't mean you can't bring an offering wherever you are. And we bring our offerings this morning. Some of us give electronically because we know we got bills to pay in this church. And we want the gospel to be freely proclaimed without the burden of having to have a candlelit service and no luxury of these air cons, which I'm sure you are enjoying this morning. Can you feel them? Suzette, are you a bit... Oh, sorry, those ones aren't working. No, I don't know. If Janet had anything to do with it, they're all pumping away. All right, amen. So can those taking up the offering be helpful here and take up the bags that they pass around? I want to ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. We were looking last week at the story of the woman who went to the well. We've been looking at a series over the last few weeks around the subject. Amen. Thank you, Lord, as we give this morning, generous hearts, generous giving for the kingdom. Amen. Thanks, guys. Now, can you loan me something this morning, Alec? Alec, I left my wallet in the car. Please, man, just put something in there for me. Come on, love you. Okay, so we are the body of Christ. The church is His body. The headship is in heaven, but His body is still on earth. Tell the person next to you, that's you He's talking about, okay? We are the body of Christ. Now, each local church gets to represent that in the macro, what it looks like in the macro. In the macro, there's only one body, but in the local, we are the body, and we are His feet and His hands and His mouth. And over the last few years, we've come to establish our identity. It's our identity. That's who we are. We've started to believe what the Bible says and who the Bible says we are. And we thank God for the understanding of grace that has come and endorsed that good reflection of the true image to in which we were created. Amen? But secondly, as the body, we also need to discover and are discovering our assignment, our purpose. And that is what the teaching is predominantly aimed at, is establishing identity and then together finding our identity, our assignment as the body of Jesus. Wherever Jesus' body went when He was on earth, stuff happened. There was adventure. There was excitement. Things got turned around. And maybe if I asked you over this past week, have you felt like God has led you to do something or say something or just be somewhere that has been had a benefit for others? Meeting needs in His name. Because if we are, that's ordinary Christianity. That's not like special. Those are the special ones. Those are the ordinary ones. That's just ordinary Christianity, is the body getting on, being directed by Him to meet needs in Jesus' name. That's the difference of looking at our Christianity as a pool I attend on Sunday for a little quick dip, or a river that's flowing out there Monday to Sunday, and we are looking at these things and growing in our understanding of normal Christianity. And I'm sure if we had time to have examples, we'd hear of people who just felt the Lord prompting them to someone at work whose car got stolen and you felt prompted to fetch their kids from school. Or somebody who just heard the neighbors had a child, baby, and you took over a plate of food. Or someone at the office, you hear their child's going through delinquency and you offered to pray for them. Or I'm sure we'd hear many stories of just everyday things that we're doing as the Lord prompts us. James coming to me yesterday and saying he'd really like to turn the Sunday night tonight into a prayer meeting for the families that were impacted by this awful accident. Some of those families may never know that we even had a prayer meeting for them. But prayer will touch their lives. Prayer is not static. Prayer is dynamic. And God watches over His prayers. So those prayers that are prayed will have an effect. Now that's kind of everyday Christianity. The river flowing. So we looked at last week in John chapter 4 how Jesus came to this well and the story around Him meeting her need. But there was one little parenthesis in there that I left out and I'd like to read this morning. In John chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "Meanwhile, His disciples urged Him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But He said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then His disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought Him food?' 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest.'" I think that's a natural tendency many of us have is always 4 months' time, 4 years' time. You know, kind of one day when I'm old enough, one day when I'm rich enough, one day when I'm married, one day when I have that job or I'm qualified, then I'll do certain things. But Jesus says, don't always talk about the then day because you're living in the now day. And He wants us to just open our eyes and see the incredible opportunity that this river has to run into. And that this overflowing well of spring, rather, this overflowing spring can go. It's not one day, in 4 months' time, in 4 years' time. Right at our doorstep, right now. And Jesus got so excited about this that He forgot to eat. I'll ask you, when did you get so excited about something you forgot to eat? Oh, my kids were in Disneyland. They didn't want to eat. That was a waste of time. We've only got like 120 hours in this place, and we're going to make full use of it. Eating we can do when we get home. Have you been so engrossed in something, so excited about something, that even eating was just like a distraction? Not many of us, okay. No. Now I found that out when I became a Christian. The church I joined. They made a big deal. We don't smoke. We don't dance. We don't watch TV. We don't go to the flicks. We don't read secular books. But yes, Easter convention, can they eat? You're bound to pick up 10 kilograms over the Easter convention. Anyway, so I've quickly discovered, okay, that's the one last, you know, thing that was left for the Christians to do, so they do it well. Anyway, back to my point here. When you get that excited about something like Jesus got about His assignment, that you literally even forget about eating, you know you've hit gold. Now, it's good to eat. You know, we should eat. But Jesus' modus operandi, His life, what was on His CV, Acts 10:38, Jesus went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil. That's a good scripture to remember. Amen? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. Acts 10 verse 38. You should never forget that verse. It's a time we end service on Sunday morning. 10:38, okay? That was His modus operandi, and it should be yours. What time do we end service? 10:38. 9 till 10:38, okay? 10:38. You're not going to forget that. Because that should be on all of our CVs. Going around, doing good. Healing all who are under the power of the devil. Because God is with us. More than just with us, God is in us. And He's for us. Come on. That's an adventure right there. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, He had an adventure. Because all He was doing was God was with Him and He was setting people free by what He said, by what He did. He goes down to this well and there's this woman here and He sees her need. He sees the challenge. And all He does is He appeals to her curiosity and He changes her whole story. The chapter before that, it's going about an everyday life. One of the teachers come to Him, Nicodemus, and starts to engage in a conversation. Jesus skillfully takes the conversation and appeals to a much higher reality and says to him, you must be born again. And out of that conversation with Nicodemus came one of the most beautiful phrases that the church has hung on to for 2,000 years. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It came out of Jesus' everyday life in John chapter 3, going about His business and an opportunity, because He wasn't waiting for 4 months' time. It was right there on His doorstep. And then the next chapter, He comes down to the well, and just before He gets to the well, it says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Often thought about that, had to go. Was there something compelling Him, something driving Him, something urging Him? You know, that's often how the Holy Spirit works in your life. You just get the desire for something, an urging. And He meets a woman who tried 5 marriages to solve her need for acceptance, significance, meaning, belonging. And in one encounter, Jesus turns her whole life around. In the next chapter, He goes down to the pool at Siloam, chapter 4, and there's a paralytic lying by the pool, and Jesus says, do you want me to change your life? Do you want me to change your story? Do you want to be healed? Now, what was common about all three stories is when Jesus starts engaging with them, they misunderstand Him. Nicodemus thought He was talking about natural birth. The woman thought He was talking about natural water. And this man, the paralytic, says, every time I want to get down to the water, there's no one to help me. Spent his life making excuses. Spent her life in shame and embarrassment. Spent his life, Nicodemus, in legalism and trying to be righteous. And in all these occasions, Jesus is just going about His everyday life, having an adventure, enjoying, whether it's a religious man, a woman with a bad reputation, a paralyzed man, Jesus is just going about His daily life, enjoying all these things. Jesus had a river flowing from the inside of Him. That's what He had. Jesus had a river, a spring that just kept on bubbling up. Like that river in Ezekiel 47. It just went out from the throne. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, until they started swimming in it. And Jesus turned a whole community the right side up in John chapter 4. The whole village said, now we believe because we've heard His words for ourselves. This is what we've been looking at, saying, church, we're not just a swimming pool we attend on Sunday for some recreation. Christianity is not just a little swimming pool that is limited and kept to ourselves. It's a spring that flows out consistently, perpetually, bringing life wherever it goes, going deeper, providing a whole world with the glory of God. In John chapter 7 and verse 38, Jesus says these words, whoever believes in Me, as the Scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive, because up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. Now this verse in John chapter 8 is very significant for us, because Jesus is living before the new covenant began. He's living in a covenant which He came to redeem people by fulfilling the old covenant law. And during that time, the Holy Spirit was not the inheritance of believers. The Holy Spirit was only there to appoint some people for leadership or to be kings and prophets. But Jesus was looking forward to a day when the same Holy Spirit that was living inside of Him was going to be inside of a body on earth that was His body, His bride, on this planet, every baby believer to every mature believer. You don't get a 3-year-old Holy Spirit and a 40-year-old Holy Spirit. If you have been born again, you have the same Holy Spirit living in you that Billy Graham has living inside of him. The same maturity of Holy Spirit. Maybe our minds haven't caught up yet. Maybe the word of truth hasn't reset and recalibrated how we think about what's happened. But positionally and intrinsically, we have the same Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that was living in Jesus and flowing out of Jesus in these chapters we've been looking at over the last few weeks. That same Holy Spirit is available for you and me and living inside of us. That's why we got no excuse to be swimming pool Christians. We live in the reality of an ever-flowing. We were created for these good works. Jesus said, I have food that no one knows about. My food is to do the work that my Father gave me to do. Now, when we hear about work, most of us either shrink back into, you know, work's not a swear word. It was one of the blessings God gave man before the fall, by the way. Work is actually a blessing. Work is a wonderful thing. Providing work doesn't rule us and own us. And we don't live to work. Work is the instrument whereby we can be fruitful for God. But the good works that Jesus is talking about, the good works that we as believers have, sometimes also conjure up pictures of, but isn't that like going back under law to when we talk about doing works again? Well, no, we're not talking about the works that we had to rely upon in order to be in right standing with God. We're talking about these new works that we have that are the life of Jesus flowing out of us. And the good works just simply mean He's made us good enough for His work to come out of us. Good work, someone will say, gee, not only is it works now, you mean I've got to be good and I've got to do works. None of the good part He took care of. He made you, He qualified you so that you can just do the works He wants you to do. And those are good works. So this word needs to be almost reinvented again or recalibrated or reinvented. We need to find some healthy expression of this word works. Because Christians are still called to works. But if we think of works wrong, then it conjures up all kinds of wrong ideas of what that means. You mean, I still got to do stuff for God? No, you get to do stuff because of God. And Jesus loved the fact that He was going about doing the works of His Father. And so I thought about this. I thought, what's a good synonym or good definition, redefining this thing of good works for the believer? And I came up with two, maybe three things. And the first one was just being who you really are. Good works are when you just be who you really are in God. The new person He made you to be. When He put a new nature inside of you. And He said, the old man is dead and you are a new man in Christ. When that new man just goes about doing who he really is, you are doing good works. Even if that just means getting up in the morning and making a cup of tea. That's a good person doing a work, and you add the two together, that's a good work. So everything you're doing now is a good work. Under the old covenant, you had to avoid bad works and try and do good works, which were actually dead works. Now as a new covenant believer, you just get to whatever you do out of who you are is constituted a good work. So that's a very broad definition. Let's be a bit more specific now. My second definition is enjoying the gifts and desires that we have in His name. So what are these good works He's called you to? Well, it's just enjoying the gifts He's given you and the desires and doing those. It's like that, I don't know, maybe Chariots of Fire, the movie's a bit dated now, but there was a slogan that came out of that guy, the athlete, where he said when he runs, he could feel the pleasure of God. What's that about? Well, all he was doing was, while he was running, he was saying, God, thank you for this gift you've given me. And when people ask me about my life, I'm going to have an opportunity to speak about you. I love it when the rugby players do that. And somebody's like, oh, it's a bit kitsch, my brother. I didn't say that. Off the tape, please. A certain guy I know says, oh, it's like so, like, you know, like cheap or whatever. I'm thinking, no, I like it. I like it when those guys get up to the mic and they say, well, yes, the I'm and I praise the Lord. And I want to say, gespeel vandaag. But I love that intro. They're just like, I want to give thanks to my God who gave me this gift. I thought, good for you, man. Other people don't apologize about their lifestyles and what they do. And if Hollywood, if they want to blaspheme, swear, and have girls kissing, they don't ask permission from the church. Why should we ask permission when we have an opportunity to get up and say, I want to thank God, He gave me this gift. Come on. You see, so all you're doing is you're enjoying your gifts and desires that He's giving you because they come from a place of it is well in my soul. See, when you're living like that, when you're not living from, oh, I'm just trying hard to be a better Christian and I've failed and I need to, you know, this, find out what sins in my life is the reason for these things going wrong and I need to, and you're living under this pseudo mixture Christianity, you don't live from wellness in your soul. But when you live from wellness in your soul, you just get to get on with your everyday Christianity, do the things you enjoy, and God gets pleasure out of that. And then thirdly, maybe not a definition, but a result, is that these works, these good works, open up opportunities and adventures that God had prepared for us. We're just going about doing what He called you to do, being yourself, engaging in the desires that He puts in your heart, being this new person He created you to be. You open the door for opportunities and adventures. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works. What are those good works? Being who you really are. What are those good works? Using your gifts and desires that He's placed within you. What are these good works? Opening up adventures and opportunities in our life. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we have a new definition, a new understanding. That as the body of Jesus on earth, part of this ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep expression of the Spirit in us, the spring of living water, the Holy Spirit, is that we get to live like Jesus lived. We get to walk into adventure, in opportunities, like Jesus did. Let's look at a few passages on this topic. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright lives in this present age. In other words, who you really are. Verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are of His very own, eager to do what is good. Eager. You know, on the inside of you, there's a new spirit, eager, to do some of this stuff. Titus 3 verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Someone on the inside of you if you don't know it already. The Spirit of God on the inside of you, eager and devoted. And Titus 3 verse 14 says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for the daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. So part of the blessing of productivity and increase and growth and work and career is a place for these good works to be expressed. 1 Timothy 6:18. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. Hebrews 10 verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So part of what we call to do in each other's lives, and I hope it's a little bit of what's happening this morning, is that we are being spurred on to be who God called us to be. And if we His body on earth, and we have a harvest field, when we walk out of this place, we can start living an adventure of, God, what are the things You've called me to do? Who is it, that person that just needs a word of encouragement? Who's that person who may never know, but I'm going to pray for them, that You're going to show them an encounter? God, this I've got in my hand. Who can I be a good steward to encourage with it? Lord, what is this tragedy this person's going through? Give me a word. Just speak to me for them, that I can just write something down and take it to them. This person that is irritating everybody, how can I live in the opposite spirit and be accepting and forgiving and loving? When everyone else is just wanting to walk around them, what is the most loving, accepting thing I can do for them? You know, that's a good work, and that's the Spirit of Jesus living inside of you. Yes, I want to see blind, seeing, deaf, hearing, lame, walking, just as much as everybody else does. But Jesus also said, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. Our problem is we're always waiting 4 more months, when I'm more qualified, when I got more money, when I'm living in the right place, when I'm married, or when I'm single, or when, you know. Then one day when everything is perfect, then I'll be able to do it. And He's saying, no, when you're faithful in the little things, you'll be surprised the opportunities that will come across your path. And you'll get to live, because that's an adventure. That's not boring suntanning at the swimming pool. This is exciting white water rafting stuff. Let the river flow, Lord. Let it flow. Don't be despondent if you're only seeing ankle deep return on your investment right now. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, the Lord says. Don't look at it in the natural and say, well, I've been trying so hard, it's been year after year. And it's, let me tell you, take your eyes off that. Look to the Lord of the harvest and say, Jesus, I know that Your Spirit, the same Spirit that lived in You, is living in me. So I got no excuse. I can be a river. I can be a commissioner of a river. I can be the beginning of a river. In this dry and desolate desert that I'm living in right now, I can be the solution, because I've got You living inside of me. Let the adventure begin. Tighten your teeth. Grab the sides of that rubber dinghy and hang on tight, because here it comes. Amen. Jesus never got up one day like, oh, I wish it was the rapture today. I wish I could be going home to heaven. No, He said, it's only daytime for a short period of time. Let's get on with the works of God while it's daytime, because the night is coming and then you can't work anymore. He's using the illustration that there's a season to work, because we're going to have forever and forever to do our whatever we're going to do in eternity. But we're going to have one glance back to a short speck of time, a little mist that appeared called created time, where we were alive on planet Earth. And that's now. Walking in these good works of who you really are. Accepting, loving, healing, delivering, empowering, generosity, sharing the good news, making a meal, visiting the lonely, hospitality, serving in your gift, are doors that you walk through into your adventures. We are the body of Jesus on earth today. We weren't around in the days of Martin Luther. They had to do the best they could do back then. We weren't around in the days of the printing press. We are around now in this technology age. We are around at this time when the world has become a small place, where people just communicate at the blink of an eye. We're living in a very different world to even the world those of us over 50 lived in our teens. Hello? Remember, some of you had to go stand on a Saturday morning with your bank book waiting to draw money over the counter. This is true, James. No, really. We really did this. You guys? No, we really had to do that. On a Saturday morning, really, you couldn't, or else you wouldn't have money for the week. I mean, really, you had to go stand in a line and fill out a little form and hand it to a lady who gave you cash. That was just, I had money. Because the credit card was from the devil. The world is a changed place. For the better and for the worse. But God chose for us to be living at this time. Amen. He would have put the gifts and the desires and the callings in you that would be different if He called you to live in a different time. But the Bible says that He places every member in the body as He sees fit. And that the job of the Ephesians, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, is to equip that body so that it can grow up and become strong, not tossed around this way one week, this way the next week. Every part doing its work, the Bible says. Every part doing its work. Ideally, we wouldn't even need salaried staff, if the church was really functioning as it should, in a sense, because we just all be doing what we're really called to do, and a few people administrating it. But in the life of the church, because it's the 20% that do the 80%, and the 2% of the 20% that make that happen, it's sometimes a heavy load to carry. But God knows what gifts He gave you and what His church would need in this day and in this season, in this generation, in this technological age we're in, for today. Isn't that exciting? Lord, I pray this river will begin to flow. Well, I wonder if you just stand up with me and just lift up your hands. And maybe you're saying, that's the kind of Christianity I want to live. I've had tastes of it in the past. But that's a kind of Christian. I want to live the Jesus kind of Christianity. He's my the perfect model of Christianity. When He came to Nicodemus, when He came to this woman at the well, He was Emmanuel. When He came to this lame man at the pool, He was Emmanuel. The Bible says, Emmanuel, God with us. He was God in the flesh. This was God in the flesh who came to change these people's lives. My friend, He's still working like that today because He's living inside a body. And it's your body. And it's my body. And Jesus is still incarnating Himself into this world we live in. He's still stepping in to the office block. He's still living and stepping in to the school and the factory and the hospital. He's still incarnating Himself through a people, through a body. And it's you and it's me. Lord, we pray this river will flow. We pray, Lord, every tributary. I wonder if you could just in your own words say, God, let my tributary, let my waters, let this well be uncapped. Let it flow. Let it join up with other tributaries. Let it become a mighty river that's going to bring change, that's going to bring healing, that's going to bring deliverance, that's going to bring hope. Cause the river of God inside of us as a community to just cut new banks, to break over banks if necessary, to break out of marshland, and to just bring trance transformation wherever it goes. Father, we pray right now just for just a release where the well of that spring has been clogged up in people's lives. We pray for release today in Jesus' name. Pray for release right now. Lord, even in the presence of your worship this morning, Lord, we just felt like people were coming free, that blockages were being unblocked, wells were being opened up. And I pray, God, this will be an ongoing encounter in our lives. So even now, Spirit of God, would you just breathe afresh on us? Just breathe afresh on your church. Oh, God is working in us to do and His perfect pleasure. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purposes. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purposes. God is at work in you to will and to act. The willing and the acting, the desire and the implementation is by God, because it is God who is working in you for His good purposes. His purposes to be established on earth. So we pray, Father, that your purposes will be established in our homes, will be established in our workplace. We pray that our eyes will be open to see the incredible harvest around us. I pray, God, where people are putting it off for 4 months, that suddenly you'll bring it up close, that you'll fast forward them into their 4 months, and that you will open our eyes to see the incredible harvest. And Lord, I pray people standing here this morning who's still in their identity, they are struggling and striving and still living in guilt and fear. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, those mindsets be broken and opened and restored and recalibrated in this place. That, Lord, your people out of identity, knowing, Lord, who you've placed us to be, we'll see a mighty, mighty revival taking place in this place. God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a thanks, a praise. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Have a fantastic afternoon. And because we finished a few minutes early, you can even go and take someone for a cup of coffee. Be blessed.